Welcome to Ask the Expert with Dr. Walter Tom, your Press Democrat best cosmetic surgeon 10 years in a row. Now, here's Dr. Tom.
Well, hello, Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui counties. I hope everybody's doing great today. I'm Dr. Tom on Ask the Expert, and today we're going to be discussing your cosmetic breast surgery questions and beyond. So guys, wait a minute. Before you run away, stick around because I have a segment for you, and we'll start off with you first, okay? So for those who don't know, I've been I was a breast cancer surgeon for 20-plus years, and for the last 20-plus years, I'm that old, I've been acting as a cosmetic surgeon, and our number one demand in our office is cosmetic breast surgery. The last 3 months, I've attended some important cosmetic breast surgery sessions from the California Academy of Cosmetic Surgery in San Diego, and I recently just got back from cold Tampa, Florida, from the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery meeting as well. So I mentioned to the guys, don't run off just yet. So as a surgeon for 20 plus years, a general surgeon, I saw a good number of men who would complain about breast enlargement. The medical term for that is gynecomastia, and it can be a very bothersome, very painful emotionally situation for men, both young men and young boys, as well as older men. And I have taken care of young teenagers with their parents' consent in terms of male enlargement, breast enlargement, as well as gentlemen in their 70s who are still bothered by having female breasts type of appearances. And emotionally, it's really tough on men. In the younger generation and even in the older generation, a lot of times they won't even take off their t-shirt, even on a hot day, because they're so embarrassed. They get ribbed by their buddies constantly, getting, you know, kind of pinched all the time by their buddies. And it's very, very bothersome for them. So let's just talk about that for a minute. So gynecomastia, or male breast enlargement, is something that is just part of a hormonal imbalance, and also the target tissue, which is the breast tissue in men, where it can enlarge. And we all, as men, have breast tissue. We tend to think of breast tissue only in women, but we actually have glandular breast tissue under our nipple areola area, or what we call the areola. And so in some people that can enlarge. Sometimes it can be tender, very painful. And for most men, it's usually the protrusion that makes them feel that they look like a girl. And that's very, very hard for them. Very much like acne in a teenager, it can be devastating. This is also a very painful issue for young men and older men as well. As I mentioned, I recently just took care of a 70-plus-year-old gentleman who had this issue all his life, and he is so happy that we've taken care of it. So what can we do for men with gynecomastia? Okay, so if it's just glandular tissue, maybe a plum size amount of tissue and so forth, a lot of times just under local anesthesia, and it's very, very comfortable procedure, we make a little, I'm going to say, semicircle incision on the bottom half of the areola border between the areola red-pink area and the normal skin color. And we go from about 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock on both breasts. We inject local in there. You don't feel it at all except for the injection of the local anesthesia. And we remove, or surgically remove, that tissue. Just by doing that, it can make a world of difference for men in terms of having a flatter area, not having a protrusion like one might see in a woman. Okay. So that's called an excisional glandular removal, or excisional, meaning excise, gynecomastia surgery. And that's really been the standard, and I've been doing that now for 40 years, and I have to tell you that our patients are very, very happy. There's very little downtime with that, maybe about a week or so where we're not asking you to be running around working out, and most people can probably return back to work if they do a desk-type job within a day or two. So it's very well tolerated. I was the first surgeon in Northern California to introduce smart lipo, or laser liposuction. And that is a procedure, again, done under local anesthesia. That's the only way I do surgery. We inject it in that area, and we would use the laser to try to break down the glandular tissue and then be able to suction it out without having to make an incision. And then the surrounding fat in maybe a male whose breast is enlarged, not just the glandular tissue underneath the areola, but sort of the whole chest area. And I will tell you through experience, and that's important to go to someone with experience, is that I found that using the laser liposuction on the glandular tissue was really underwhelming. I didn't feel that it did the type of job that our patients were expecting in terms of results. However, that laser liposuction in terms of removing fat in the general chest area that might make a male look like he has a large female breast can be highly effective. So when you come in and our consultations are complimentary, we'll evaluate you, take photos, I'll do an examination on you. And if you have somebody who just has glandular tissue, we may be lucky enough just to be able to do an excisional removal of that tissue. However, if you have a bigger breast area and part of it is, and a good part of it is fat, then we would probably recommend a combination of smart lipo or laser liposuction of that whole area and also doing an excisional removal of the glandular tissue under the areola. Okay. And that will probably take care of 95% of all the men that come in to see us for gynecomastia. However, occasionally you'll get somebody, especially males with a lot of weight loss, who may have such drooping of that breast tissue, just like in women, that they may require actually a formal breast lift. And that's where we would go. And it's a little bit more detailed than what we would share with you on our show today on KSRO Ask the Expert. But if you have any further questions about that, we'll have you give our office a call. You will speak with Karina, who's not with us today, but our surgical liaison. She's wonderful. And we'll have you send in some photos and we can set up a consultation for your gynecomastia issue. And again, it's one of my favorite operations because of how happy our patients are. So that's the treatment for male gynecomastia. Now we're going to move on to you ladies. Here we go. So, we know now, as I've been to the meetings in San Diego, the California Academy of Cosmetic Surgery and the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery in cold Tampa, Florida, just last week and attending the breast sessions there, that there is absolutely a trend with women going to smaller implants or what we call the ballerina breast augmentation. And we actually just had a show a week or two ago here on KSRO. So go to YouTube and it'll be under the heading of ballerina breast augmentation and you can listen to all the details about that. But just in short summary, there has been now a trend where women want what I'm going to say a more slender look. They want to be augmented. They want fullness, but they don't want a heavier breast image. And so for those women, we are now offering the ballerina breast augmentation, which again is done under local anesthesia, where we're taking smaller implants. And again, it's relative to how small or large the woman is. But if you want an actual number of the size of the implant, we're probably looking at anywhere from 125 cc's, maybe up to 250, 275 cc's, maybe up to 300 cc's, where the patient wants a modest enlargement. Okay, they like the more lithe, L-I-T-H-E, the lithe look. And so what we would do is we do a consultation once again, the important parameters are to see how much of your own soft tissue you have. It's called a superior pinch test. We use little calipers and we measure how much at about the arm, underarm area, and we look to see how much breast tissue does a woman have in that area or fat in that area in terms of coverage. The difference with our ballerina breast augmentation, because they are smaller implants, is that we like to preserve the function and not interfere with your chest muscles called the pecs or the pectoralis major muscle. So all of us kind of from working out of the gym, we're like, you know, we're going to build on our pecs. At least guys will talk about that. Women probably do as well. But traditionally, when you do breast augmentation, probably I'm going to say 85% of the time in my patient population, we are putting an implant underneath that muscle. So if you have a muscle like this, what we do is we take an implant and we put it underneath the muscle. And so what that does is it protects the upper portion of the implant from being seen. And that's a submuscular approach. With the ballerina breast augmentation, because we're going smaller, we're not getting as much expansion beyond the natural boundaries of the woman's breast tissue, her own breast tissue, what we do is through a tiny little incision is we'll go and stay on top of the muscle. And there is a little layer of tissue, connective tissue, called the fascia. And so I just make a little incision on that fascia, and we elevate the fascia up for the pocket to kind of protect the implant as well as the breast tissue and the skin. And we place that implant on top of the muscle, but below the muscle fascia. So the muscle is left intact. The muscle is left intact. And by putting this smaller implant in, we can give the woman nice fullness. A lot of times it's just beautiful for rounding out the figure, especially in thinner athletic women. They like this look. Most ladies are very, very happy with this. So if you think that you are interested in the ballerina breast augmentation, you're looking for a modest increase in size, you like kind of a more slender athletic look, then please give us a call and speak with Karina, our surgical liaison, and we would be happy to evaluate you to see if the ballerina breast augmentation is appropriate for you. So the keys, why would you consider that? One, you don't want to go too big. You like a more modest athletic look. And also you can appreciate the benefits of leaving your chest muscle, the pectoralis major muscles, intact. So for those who are interested in the ballerina breast augmentation, please give us a call. Go to YouTube and we'll have a whole video, a whole half hour video on that for you on our Ask the Expert KSRO show. It's under Dr. Walter Tom on YouTube. Thank you for those who are interested in looking into that. Now, let's go on to another question that we get asked often is for patients is, should I consider saline or silicone implants? Okay, so I will tell you that we spend quite a bit of time with our patients discussing this. I will also tell you that as a previous general vascular transplant surgeon, as a breast cancer surgeon, I always, always, always want to do what I feel is safest for the patient. So I wouldn't recommend doing a procedure that I think puts them at undue risk. So that's number one. We want to do what's safest for you. There's an interesting subchapter in a book called Blind Spots, and written by Dr. Marty Makary, who is the present FDA director here in the United States, the FDA director. And he wrote a beautiful book called Blind Spots. And in sort of the preface of the book, his comment is that when medicine gets it right, we help so many people. Okay, when we get it right, we help so many people. But when we get it wrong, it takes a long time to correct sort of the tradition of those recommendations. And one of his chapters, very interesting, that I loved, was about hormonal replacement therapy. And so I would recommend that you read that. But he also had another subchapter called not the Silicon Valley, but Silicone Valley. And he looked at what transpired in the 90s into the early 2000s in terms of the scare about silicone implants. And I'm going to bottom line it for you, but I would like you to read that if you're all concerned about that. But he showed how statistically silicone implants were safe, that there was really claims made about it being unsafe, not based on science and statistical significance. And so again, not to get into a long discussion about that on our short KSRO show today, but I would recommend that you read Blind Spots by Dr. Martin McCarr. And the subchapter is called Silicone Valley. And he can go into that. So I just saw a young lady today who needs a breast lift, and a young lady in her 40s. And it was a little bit conflicted about having breast implants, and we talked about it. And in her case, and I'm happy to do a breast lift on her without an implant, but she keeps on saying to me, but I want fullness. I want to make sure I have fullness. And so that's where the kind of the conundrum occurs, because with just her native breast tissue, it may not be enough to make her be aesthetically happy. So we discussed implants, and she was asking me about the safety, and I told her about the chapter in Dr. Makary's book, Blind Spots, and I talked to her about my experience and what we know scientifically about implants. And I explained to her that there are basically two types of implants. There are saline implants, and though it's a silicone shell filled up with sterile salt water, or silicone implants, which is again a silicone shell, but it's filled with a gel-like composition of silicone. Okay, and the advantages of saline and silicone are that silicone is going to feel more squishy. So if you go onto YouTube next week, and then we're going to be posting this show on YouTube, and I'll be holding up a silicone implant, and it's you can see or visually that it's very squishy. So women perceive that as feeling it feels more natural. Okay. If a woman has a lot of breast tissue, it probably doesn't matter if they have a silicone or saline implant. But if a woman has very little breast tissue, let's say she is an A cup and she wants to be a C cup, probably 95% plus 99% of those women opt for a silicone implant because it is softer and most of the projection of the breast area on her is going to be about 90% implant. So they want it to feel as natural as possible. And do I feel that it is safe? I do. And so that's an advantage of silicone. So what about saline implants? Well, saline implants are going to, they still can feel natural if you have a fair amount of your own breast tissue. Saline feels a little bit more firm, a little bit more balloon-like, okay? And because of that, let's look at the advantages and disadvantages of that. So the disadvantage might be, it's a little bit more firm than a silicone. Not a lot, but a little bit more firm, okay? An advantage may be if a woman needs a lift, because it has a little bit more firmness to it, you actually get a little bit more of a natural lift with saline implants than you do with silicone implants. So that's a big advantage as well. So a lot of times for women who are doing breast lifts on, and if they have enough of their own natural breast tissue, we will use saline implants on a patient. And that's where we're kind of leaning with the young lady that I mentioned that I had just seen this morning in my office, probably do a breast lift and decide if she wants an implant to place a saline implant on it for her as well. One of the concerns that we have with saline implants is that if you don't have a lot of breast tissue, you can sometimes get some rippling, what we see. So think of kind of a curtain hanging down. You get a little bit of rippling on the very, very side, but it's usually not seen unless you're very, very skinny, very, very thin, or if you kind of are leaning forward. But for most women, it's not a big issue. And so in terms of saline and silicone, we talked a little bit about just the general benefits and so forth. If you are somebody who wants the best result, wants a more natural feel, you know, you're concerned about your safety, but you're not anxious about that, then I think that silicone is a great way to go. If you're somebody, and you have to know yourself, who is just more anxious, not so much anxious, because that sounds negative, but maybe is just more concerned about safety, you know, what's going to give me the least risk, then I'm going to recommend saline implants for you. Although silicone implants are very, very safe. And if a family member wanted it, from my perspective and asked my opinion, they wanted silicone implants, I would not talk them away from that. In fact, I wouldn't even bring up anything about the safety factor. I wouldn't worry them. I would more than emotionally support them in their decision. So that's the difference between saline and silicone implants. Now, some patients have asked us about the difference between smooth and textured implants. There's sort of a newer implant that's out on the market right now that is a little bit firmer and it is textured. And so if you happen to go onto YouTube next week, and I'll hold up implants, and you'll see one that looks very, very smooth, and then you'll see one that looks textured, a little pebbly, not as big a pebble as on a football, but I use that as an example. So the difference is one, if it has a little bit of a texture, are pebbly, and the micro pebbly, I'll say, and one is very smooth. The advantage of the textured one is that the way that it forms, it can be held in place a little bit better. The negative of that, in my opinion, is although it's rare, there's a atypical type of tumor that can occur in the capsule of an implant. And so for me, my feeling is, again, along the safety factors, is that I stay just with smooth implants. So I like the regular silicone gel or saline implants that are smooth. So if you have any questions about that, please, again, give us a call, and we would be more than happy to talk to you about that. All right. So that was the quick conversation on smooth versus textured implants, silicone implants. Now, the last topic that we're going to cover today, and I'm trying to run through a bunch of these topics for you in our short period of time on Ask the Expert. Thank you, all of you, for listening. The topic for today, the last topic for today, is going to be having a breast lift and augmentation, and what is the theory behind that. So for a lot of women, they've lost volume in their breasts, and they know the breasts are hanging over their rib cage. It doesn't feel very feminine. They feel that it's made them look matronly, and for some women, it makes them feel heavier, and so they want to lift, and they can be some of my most happiest patients because of just lifting the breast up off of the abdomen makes a world of difference in how they look in the mirror. And in fact, you've heard me mention many times on the show when we talk about breast lifts that a lot of these women who have the droopy breasts they're reluctant to get disrobed in front of their loved ones. And so it makes a huge difference for them. Now, in the woman who has very little breast tissue and they want to lift and they're considering an augmentation because they want a little more fullness, then we have two routes to go. If they're picking a small implant and they want to lift, sometimes we can do that at the same time. However, if they're thinking that they want to go quite a bit bigger, they want some vavoom, if you will, and then a lot of times I will recommend a stage procedure where we first do a lift, and for those who don't know what a breast lift is, we remove excess skin on the bottom half of the breast, and we bring it together architecturally, and it pushes the breast upwards. And so the skin, the wound healing is under tension because we've removed excess skin. When we do an augmentation, we actually go ahead and we put an implant in, and it actually stretches the tissue. So if you put a large implant in a patient who is having a lift, you're actually doing two diametrically opposed procedures. One, we're removing excess skin, bringing it together under tension, and the other is we're putting an implant in and we're stretching it out. So for those patients, it's safer for us to stage it. First, we do a breast lift, and then after that, we do anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks down the road, then we do an augmentation, and it improves the success rate of the skin healing and so forth, and I believe it is still the safest way to go for our patients. And so, in quick summary, for those who have droopy breasts, what we call breast ptosis, then what we would recommend a lot of times is just a breast lift, and if you have enough of your own breast tissue, you may be super happy with just a lift, and I'm going to say that probably 65% of our patients are that way. 35% of our patients, or maybe a third of our patients, want a little bit fuller breast. If they're going to request a smaller implant, then we might do it at the same time and do mention from our previous part of our show, the ballerina breast augmentation. But the other would be if they want to go larger, then I'm going to recommend that we stage it. And so we first do a lift, and then anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, could be 12 weeks down the road, then we put the implant underneath, and most of those patients are very, very happy. So that's our quick summary on cosmetic breast surgery in 2026. I want to thank all of you once again for always listening to us on Ask the Expert. I'm Dr. Walter Tom. Thank you. You don't know you're beautiful.
You have been listening to cosmetic surgeon Dr. Walter Tom. For more information, visit drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.